I love a banana sandwich. Used to have them as a child. Still have them now. Takes me right the way back. In fact, I kind of want one now, if I'm honest with you. What's the most boring thing that you've never tried that people look at you, raise their eyebrows and think, why? For Harry, who's answering your calls tonight, it was tea. James, who's on a night shift in the ambulance, has said, tea, how can you not have tried it? It's an essential part of night shift. I know.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at 2 o'clock. This is Tyler Dunn. Civilians have been fleeing southern Beirut as the Israeli military launches further strikes on the Lebanese capital. Israel says it's been targeting Hezbollah's central headquarters, weapons stores and senior commanders. The attacks mark a significant escalation in the conflict, despite growing international condemnation. Lord Darroch is a former British National Security Advisor. He's doubtful Israel will be able to defeat the group.
Israel can do a great deal of damage to Hezbollah. They may be capable of taking out Hezbollah's senior leadership. But the lesson of history, the Israelis were occupied a bit of southern Lebanon from about 1982 to 2000. There was a war with Hezbollah in 2006. Neither of those things really succeeded. So the idea that they can deliver a decisive and complete victory over Hezbollah, it's very difficult. There's no evidence that's possible.
Further details have emerged of donations for clothes from the Labour peer Lord Ali to Keir Starmer. Although the Prime Minister has not broken any parliamentary rules, our Deputy Political Editor Vicky Young said it's more embarrassment for Labour.
There's another £16,000, which was originally declared as money for his private office, but has now been recategorised. Now, Labour say that that has happened because they went back to check that it had been properly registered, so they say they're being proactive about all of this. They also say that all parties do invest in presentation. But we now know that the Prime Minister, the Chancellor, the Deputy Prime Minister have all said they will no longer take donations for clothes, which does suggest that none of this was the image that they were looking for.
The cast of Harry Potter have been paying tribute to their co-star Dame Maggie Smith, who's died at the age of 89. She played Professor McGonagall in the fantasy series. Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter, called her an industry legend. Emma Watson, who played Hermione Granger, described her as honest, funny, and the true definition of greatness. An unusually bright comet may be visible in the next few days. Comet Chuchinchan Atlas, or A3, may be seen with the naked eye for periods until the end of October. Here's our science reporter, Maddie Malloy.
Comets are giant snowballs in space made from rock and different types of ice. When they approach our sun, the ice turns to gas, creating a spectacular tail. A3 has been visible through telescopes in the southern hemisphere, and it's expected people will be able to see it using telescopes or binoculars in the north from now for about a week at around dawn, and again from the 12th of October onwards after sunset in the western sky, when it may even be bright enough to be seen with the naked eye.
Six rare turtles that washed up on the coast of the UK have been given a lift home by the crew of a Royal Navy warship. The animals are suspected to have been swept to Cornwall by strong winds and Atlantic currents. HMS Medway took the turtles to a Portuguese archipelago on its way to the Caribbean. It's believed they would have died if they'd not been found and rescued. BBC News, it's now 3 minutes past two.
More diamonds than the Queen of England.
Welcome to the world of thieves and hoaxers and con women.
She does sound fabulous though.
Massive dogs, lots of cars.
But who are these lady swindlers? And did they get away with their frauds and deceptions by using their feminine characteristics?
I am the notorious Tilly Devine.
She's a bit of a one-off, really.
Lady Swindlers with Lucy Worsley.
Where true crime meets history.
Listen first on BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK. Lisa McCormick.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good night, whatever you want to call it. It is 4 minutes past two now. Let me recap on some of the things we're talking about on the programme. As the showbiz world, and indeed the whole country, pays tribute and mourns the loss of Dame Maggie Smith, who's died at the age of 89. I want to know, who would you consider to be a national treasure? Both the King and Queen in their statement and Sir Keir Starmer described her as a national treasure. And I think probably that is fair to say. You know, she is a national treasure. She was a national treasure. Who else would you say is a national treasure and why? I want your thoughts on that. And what makes a national treasure as well? What is, You know, what is it, sort of longevity of the career? Is it age? Is it mass appeal? What is it? I don't know. Interesting. Who would you consider to be a national treasure and why? 08085 909 693. Or drop me a text if you want to get in touch that way. It's 85058. Also, according to the Daily Mail, Prince Harry's been spotted at, and I'm going to use their words on this, a celebrity New York City tattoo parlour. Apparently he spent around an hour there, but nobody really knows what happened behind the door because staff, they say, remain tight-lipped about his visit. So Prince Harry might be sporting a tattoo. He might not. He was in there for an hour. I want to know if you have a tattoo, and if so, what is your tattoo story, right? I think they've become more widely acceptable in recent years. Maybe some people who you would otherwise not have thought would get some ink have actually maybe embraced them. So I'd be interested in your tattoo stories as well. They've all got a story, so I'm guessing yours does. What is it and what's the story behind it? 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. I want to know what you've queued for and whether it was worth queuing for. The reason being, social media. There's lots of pictures in social media of people queuing at pubs. And I don't mean, you know, the usual kind of free-for-all, sort of like a queue, but sort of not like a queue. I mean like an orderly queue being formed behind the pub, behind the bar. It's really interesting because, there's a Twitter and X account that highlights the issue, describing themselves as the campaign to end the recent phenomenon of single queuing in pubs. We wait for the bus or checkout, but not at bars. Is that fair enough? Maybe you've not queued at a bar, but I want to know what you have queued for and whether it was worth it. Maybe you joined the queue because you saw it, you had no idea what it was, and you thought, well, I'll find out what it is. James, who is on the night shift, he's working on the ambulances. I have full respect for you, James. That cannot be an easy shift. But he says, when I was young, I was a massive fan of reading. And one night, my parents treated me to reordering the new Harry Potter book. So I, with my mum, queued to get the newest book at midnight. You were one of the first, James. Yes, yes. What have you queued for? I queued inadvertently to get an iPad. It was the very first iPad. It was very exciting. I'd been out with my friend who I hadn't seen in a long time. And he told me we could go to the pub for a drink, but then he had to leave me because he was queuing to get the new iPad. I said, well, we hadn't really finished our chat. We hadn't seen each other in a while. He lives in Northern Ireland. And I said, well, I'll come with you and I'll just spend like an hour. We can just have a chat and then I'll go home. And then it was really good fun in the queue. Now, I'm not a queuer. I do not have the patience for that. But it was really, really good fun in the overnight queue waiting at the Apple store. And then shortly before they opened, they came around with coffee and high-fiving everybody. And I just got really into it. And then I ended up buying an iPad that I couldn't really afford. But that's just me all over. I'm quite impulsive anyway. So I queued all night for an iPad, even though I didn't really intend to. But it was so much fun in the queue. So what have you queued for and was it worth it? 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. What was more embarrassing about the iPad story is because I was literally one of the first to get it. There was a photographer taking pictures of me and my friend Connor, and that picture has been round the world, embarrassingly. Anyway, let's move on from that. I also want to know the most obvious thing that you've never tried after Harry, who's answering your phones tonight alongside Leona, told me he'd never tried a cup of tea. We've made him try one. He's come away thinking, not for him, which astounds me because I love a cup of tea. What is it you've never tried? The most obvious thing that you've never had a go and people just raised their eyebrows and you said you've never said it. What is it? 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. I hope Colin in Stockport is still talking to me because you've been hanging on a while, Colin. Sorry.
Sure.
You all right?
I'm fine, thank you, Lisa.
Good. Yeah, I'm all right, actually. Sorry for keeping you hanging on there. I got lost in time. You know me, it happens. Sorry about that. Anyway, are you well, anyway?
Yes, thank you. I am.
Good stuff. Yeah, I can't complain at all. I've got my cup of tea. What more do I need?
Callers, presumably.
I mean, that was really helpful. Otherwise, I'd just talk to myself for 4 hours. Yeah, yeah.
Before we get into what I want to talk about, well done to your previous cancer survivor caller.
Oh, Mark! Fantastic. Yeah. Mark, I can't believe you dropped it in at the end of the call as well. It's like that. You should have led with that, Mark. Tell me your good news. Amazing.
Well,
news.
You know, as a fellow cancer survivor, it's quite a, you know, a moment in your life when you go like, blimey, I thought I'd be dead.
Yeah.
And now I'm not.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
What can I do with the rest of my life now?
Oh, we didn't plan for this.
I read the will. I planned the funeral. I do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And now, I've got years to live, hopefully. Anyway, so, yeah, congratulations to him. And to all the, you know, the NHS surgeons and the people who look after me, Ben Harris, Sinclair, who are my radiographers, is, well, it's, when I say a life-changing experience, yeah, it really is. 'Cause, there you go.
Yeah, no, I know. It's absolutely. I mean, it makes you. It certainly makes you think about life, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
Reevaluate.
Well, I've done everything. I've written my will, done my funeral plans, all that. You know, that's it. And they go like, "What? You mean you're going to live?"
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, back to that then. Yeah, no, we should definitely, you know, be so chuffed for Mark. I really am, and obviously yourself as well, Colin. What we're talking about tonight, because we weren't talking about that. Well, we were talking about that, weren't we?
Yes, well, Suze is the thing that caught my attention.
Yeah.
Because I've never been a fan of tattoos. You know, individual choice, of course, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've never been a fan of them personally.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. For whatever reason, if military people have them,
yeah,
or whatever. And I thought the only one I'll ever have is if you do an Ironman triathlon, mm-hmm, you've got a particular tattoo. And, of course, I've never done an Ironman triathlon.
Oh, there's still time, Colin, still time.
well, no, there isn't. My mind says, yep, you can. My body says,
yeah,
absolutely no chance, mate.
Yeah,
So I thought, well, okay, that's it. I'm never going to have tattoo until I went, because I had prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And one of the things they have to do to identify where exactly it is at here,
yeah,
is to give you four little tiny dot tattoos. So they're not like, yeah, you know, ostentatious tattoos.
Yeah.
But they use them to line you up for the zapping, I suppose. can't think of the correct term, but so I have four tiny dots in a square on my tummy. Okay. Well, I'm not going to say no to that, am I? And they use it to literally move you,
yeah,
inches left, right, up, back, up a bit, down a bit, and then they do it. So I have four tattoos.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder why they have to. So it's obviously a permanent tattoo. I wonder why they have to do that then. Did they explain to you why?
Well, what you do, what you have to do, is you lie in the bed,
mm-hmm,
and Claire, who I have today, completely lovely radiographer, looks through some, like an x-ray type thing,
mm-hmm,
identifies where the prostate gland is and where the cancer is.
Yeah.
And they shuffle you around a bit on this bed, shove you under this zapping machine,
yeah,
I'm sure it's a better term for that, and line you up, and then that's what they use to make sure that they zap you in the right place. So, okay. Mm. So now I've got four tattoos. There you go. Only tiny dots.
still. If somebody were to say, has he got any identifying features, you'd be able to say yes. Four little tattoos.
Well, I'm not planning on showing anybody.
Well, no.
If you know where the prostate gland is, it's still sort of sensitive part of the body.
Right, yes, obviously,
I'm not going to show anybody off. And they're probably fed away by now. You know, I don't actually look for them. But,
you don't sort of like look in the mirror and try and find them once in a while. Right, fair. That
no.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes,
oh, brilliant. Oh, Colin, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it's been about a month since we spoke, so
isn't that long? I
don't keep track of it, but, you know.
I feel like the weeks kind of fade into one these days. You know, you sort of just get to that point where you...
They do.
Has a week passed? Right. Has really a week passed? Anyway, there you go. Apparently it has. Lovely to talk to you, Colin.
You too.
I'll speak to you soon.
As always, indeed.
We'll speak again soon. Take care. Colin in Stockport there, he does sort of inadvertently have four little tattoos from his cancer treatment. Fair enough. Let's speak now to Sue in Olney. How are you, Sue?
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I'm not bad, Sue. How are you doing?
Yes, not too bad at all, thank you.
Good. Have you had a nice week?
Yes, not too bad.
Excellent.
I mean, I haven't really gone very far because of where I live,
yeah.
And we've had a lot of floods.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes,
yes,
that
you know,
news,
Buckinghamshire, yeah. Yeah,
it hasn't been nice at all.
Yeah, I mean, you go out and you might not get back.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're better at home. Have you put the heating on yet, Sue? Because it's been a bit chilly up here, you know.
I haven't got my heating on yet, no.
No, you haven't reached that point.
No, I haven't put it on yet. Yeah. But, I mean, I only live in a small 200-year-old terraced house.
Right.
And it's quite warm. I mean, my bedroom, I have never, ever, I've been here 25 years,
yeah.
I have never, ever put my radiator on in my bedroom.
Oh, blimey, that's
I have a three-tog duvet on summer and winter, and my window's open 24/7.
Oh my God! So it really holds the heat then?
That's how warm it is in my bed. Mind you, the airing cupboard's in my bedroom.
Yeah, fair, yeah.
So it makes such a difference, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's what we all need, Sue, but anyway.
Sorry?
That's what we all need, a bit of that, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I noticed we moved twice. We used to be in quite a new build, which just held all the heat, and then we moved to an old house last year, which is a semi-detached, and I tell you, it can get cold. It definitely does not have any insulation in it, so I think we need to look at that. But that's another story entirely. I'm completely digressing here, so pull me back on track. Tell me what you queued for.
Well, I've got a couple of queuing stories. The first one is I queued on the 6th of September 1963 to see the Beatles in Luton.
Brilliant.
Yes.
How big
and
was that queue?
We was only four rows from the front.
Wow.
So we had an absolutely wonderful view of them. They had the St John's ambulance there because there were so many girls fainting.
Yeah.
And it was, because it was, when the Beatles played, they was actually on floor level. They wasn't on floor level. They wasn't up on the stage. So they had to have security standing round because the girls were trying to get to them.
Oh, right, okay, goodness.
And Freddie Starr, the comedian, he was one of the support acts that night. He had a group then called the Midnighters.
Oh, yeah, of course. He was a singer, wasn't he?
Yes. And he was one of the support acts. But they only played 9 songs.
Right.
And I started with Roll Over Beethoven.
Oh, good tune.
Yeah, and the tickets were 10 shillings and sixpence.
Was that a lot of money then, Sue? Forgive my ignorance.
Oh, it's 50 pence. Well, I suppose it was really, because, I mean, when I was 16 when I saw them and I was earning £3 and a penny a week then.
Yeah.
So I suppose, yeah. You know, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Much now.
No, which is why I asked. I was curious. Yeah.
Well, my daughter today, she went online today and she's got tickets to see Coldplay next September.
Oh, fantastic. So.
But the tickets are £200 each.
A lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is a lot of money.
I mean,
I would quite like to see them, but I'm just not sure I could justify
They're her favourite group, so her and her partner have managed to get, and they've got decent seats as well.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, you weigh it up, you know, if it does mean that much to you, probably it is worth it, but it's so much money, isn't it?
Yeah.
So much money.
I mean, you know, I suppose it depends on how much you want to see these people,
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. And they will be brilliant, like. They'll be so good live. They really will.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, getting back to my second queuing.
Right, go on.
I queued to kiss the Blarney Stone.
Did you?
When I went to Ireland.
That explains a lot, Sue.
Sorry?
That explains a lot.
Well, I talk a lot, just in the gap.
I'm only messing you, you know that. So.
Yes, I did. But my partner wouldn't wouldn't kiss it.
Right, why not?
No, but I did. I mean, we had to queue for quite some time.
I'm sure you did, yeah.
Yeah, to kiss it. And there was an American lady in front of me.
Yeah.
And she said, are you going to sanitise that? Yeah,
No. So did they have to, because I think, do they have to dangle you upside down, basically?
Well, what you do is you lay flat on your back.
Yeah.
And because there's a gap between the outer wall and the floor.
Yeah, right, okay.
And they've got, like, some kind of railing, but you also have a man that holds you so that you can't slip through, because you have to bend your neck right back.
Yeah.
Actually, there's only one piece of it is actually the Blarney Stone.
Right, okay. So it's not the whole sort of the wall, it's actually
a
specific...
No, there's just one kind of stone in there that is the actual Blarney Stone, and that's the one you have to kiss.
Goodness. I've just sort of Googled a picture of it. Do you know, I've never kissed a Blarney Stone, which might shock you, but I never have. It looks like it's sort of, it's beginning to wear away a little bit with however many people have kissed
it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, all those kisses over the years.
Goodness. So when did you do it then? How many years ago was that?
I did it probably about 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I'll never get down to do it now, Lisa.
You wouldn't get back up again, Sue?
No, well, I mean, the man could help me up, couldn't he? He might do his back in, but, you know.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great one. Do you know what I refuse to believe, Sue? That you were 16 when you queued to see the Beatles.
Yes.
Were you really?
Yes, I was,
yeah. You did not come across to me like you were 16 in 1963. I'd had you down for 10 years younger than that.
Really?
Absolutely,
really?
Yeah, because we talk quite a lot, and I honestly, and I think you've told me about the gig before now that we're talking about it, but...
Yes, because when the guy on the phone said that, he said, I think we've talked about this before. Trouble is, you talk about so many things, you forget what you've talked about.
Well, this is it, I know.
Do you know what, you're saying that, I went to the doctor's once, and I went in there, and he looked at me, and he looked at his screen, and he looked back again, and he said, I've just had to check your age, he said, because I couldn't believe that you were 77,
Not just me.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I'll have some of what you're having, Sue, because it's clearly working for you.
Well, it must be the gift of the gab, Lisa.
Well, I've got plenty of that, so I'll be grand.
Yeah.
Oh, Sue.
Anyway, it's lovely to talk to you.
You too. We'll speak again soon, yeah?
Yeah, okay then.
All right, you take care. See you later.
Bye.
Sue and Olney there. See you, Sue. Queued to see the Beatles in 1963 when she was 16 years old. What have you queued for? And why? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Have you ever joined a queue because you saw one and you thought, well, I'll just give it a go. I'll find out what it is. And then sort of you realise, you asked and then that was it. I'm not a queuer, I've got to say, just that once, which was overnight outside the Apple store, which I didn't really intend to do. But I did it and it was really great crack. And the atmosphere and the queue and the camaraderie was really nice. Do you know what? My mum listens to this program and I know what she's going to be doing. She's going to text me and go, you did queue another time. I did queue another time to get a phone. I did do that. Okay. I've queued twice in my life. Yeah, I have. Right. Okay. Yes, I did. I did a queue to get a phone. I had to have a phone. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. 08085 909 693 or text me 85058. There's always a danger to my mum listening to this. She's going to text me and go, that's not true. So full disclosure, I've queued twice. What have you queued for and was it worth it? I want to know your stories behind your tattoos. Have you got a tattoo? What is it? And what is the story behind it? Because they all have a story, right? You might look at it now and think, probably wouldn't get it now. But actually, it was that time in your life when you got it. And what did it mean to you? 08085 909 693. You can text me to 85058. I might tell you, depending on what time we have, I might tell you about how I nearly passed out when I got my first tattoo. It was awful. And also, I want to know national treasures. Who would you describe as a national treasure? Because the great and the good have been paying tribute to Dame Maggie Smith. She's died at the age of 89, and I think her stellar career really has lamented that national treasure status. 2 Oscars she won. More recently, she starred in Downton Abbey, of course, in the Harry Potter franchise as Professor McGonagall. She is definitely a national treasure, but who would you describe as a national treasure? Who is it for you? And what is it that makes somebody a national treasure? Is it the mass appeal? Is it the length of their career? Is it their age? I've sort of been thinking a lot about this tonight. Neil really, really gave me some thought-provoking thoughts. earlier? You know, does it depend where you live in the country, who you consider to be a national treasure? I don't know. I was thinking off the top of my head when I was talking to Neil. It was interesting to ponder it, though. Who's a national treasure to you? 08085 909 693 or text me 85058. Let's speak to Leslie in Fife. Hiya, Leslie.
Oh, hello, Lisa. Nice to hear you.
You too, Leslie. You keeping well?
Yes, thank you. Yeah,
great.
Good
to hear it. Good to hear it. Who do you think is a national treasure?
Billy Connolly.
I think that's a great, great shout. Great shout, Leslie.
I've seen him twice, and I just think he's the funniest man in the world.
Yeah,
he is. His observations of people, his love of life, I just think he's wonderful.
Yeah. He hasn't really been too well recently, has he? So,
no.
I thought so, yeah. Oh, he's just looking at his age. He's 81 now. Goodness, that's older than I would have put him down for now.
Yeah, he's made a lot of people laugh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he's had a long career, you know. I mean, he's probably been around since, what, 70s, probably?
Yeah, he was in the Humble Bums, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And played with Jerry Rafferty, didn't he?
Right. Do you know what? I didn't know that. But David, who's producing the programme, just shouted through to me with Jerry Rafferty. I was like, goodness, right? I didn't know that actually. God, he's had an even more varied career than I thought.
Yeah, he was a folk artist originally,
right?
And then turned to comedy. And
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Goodness. That was actually, do you know what? I've just had a little look. I've just Googled this now because I was curious. That was back in the 60s, you know, the late 60s.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I wasn't sure how far it was, really. But there again, well, he's 81. So, yeah.
My goodness. He really has been around for a long, long, long time. What is, you know, what for you is the sort of defining moment of Billy Connolly's career? What, you know, what's been your highlight there?
Well, obviously, I saw him twice, so yeah, that was great. I just think that the funniest show was an audience with Billy Connolly.
Yes,
when he
had
stars in the audience, and then you would see he was sitting in the audience, and they were just creased up with what he was doing.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, when did you see him?
What
years did you see him?
In the 80s.
Right.
In the 80s. I saw him in Oxford. I can't remember where the other show was, but I did see him in Oxford.
Yeah.
Yes, and he was very funny. Yeah, indeed.
I'm sure that was a sellout.
Somebody got up during the show or they were late coming in, well, he would show them up. I said to my husband, I wouldn't like to be late coming into his show. He's shown up. Yeah.
To tell me you weren't sitting at the front, because that's always a bit of a gamble in any sort of comedy show.
No, we weren't sat in the front.
Good.
And I did say to the person, Sarah, that took my call, that I queued in Times Square for tickets to go and see a show.
Right, yeah.
With a friend, and it was on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the show was now. It was a musical, but the show was in Studio 54.
Oh, wow, brilliant.
So when I got back, I looked up to see...
Yeah.
The Studio 54's history.
Yeah.
And in the 70s, well, they used to hold parties in there, and the Stones used to be in there, and I'm a Stones fan.
Oh, wow. So you felt like you were...
that's great. I was in there.
Yeah. You felt like you were on hallowed ground, I guess.
Yes.
Brilliant. I mean, how long did you have to queue for that? And I mean, it's a stupid question. Was it worth it, Leslie?
Oh, it was worth it, yes.
Yeah.
I can't really remember. It was, I would say, about an hour.
Okay, yes.
To get tickets in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And obviously they were cheaper.
Yeah, that's the good thing. Yeah, if you can do the queuing in the afternoon, you can quite often get them a bit cheaper, can't you?
I mean, they had the Lion King was on show then.
Yeah.
And tickets were sold out, so we couldn't get tickets to go and see that. So we looked to see what other shows were on.
I think you hit on a very good one there. To be honest, I think you did very well in missing out on the Lion King. To be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I love The Lion King. I have seen The Lion King. It is very, very good. But getting to Studio 54, you could see The Lion King, really. Not anywhere, but they do tour it. You couldn't have gone to Studio 54 anywhere else. So I think you did a good job there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Worth the queue in, Leslie. Worth it.
And I haven't had a tattoo.
You haven't had a tattoo. Good to know.
No, I wouldn't want to have a tattoo.
Yeah.
And I like tea, but I've never tried chai tea.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have never tried that.
I have, but I'm not a massive fan. I'll tell you, here's one for you. Graham texted me. What was it Graham said? Let me find it again. Oh, yeah, he said he loves his tea. He's got a bit of a selection. He said Kashmiri pink tea is delicious. Ever heard of Kashmiri pink tea?
No.
Nor have I, but he says it's worth a shot, so might have to look out for that
one. I like an apple tea.
I love a cup of tea. You can't beat a cup of tea. In fact, I'd love one right now, but, you know, nobody's forthcoming with it, so what can I do? Leslie, lovely to talk to you.
Oh, I've got something else to tell you as well.
Yeah, go.
Mark, who phoned and said that he couldn't have mayonnaise because he was allergic to eggs.
Yeah.
Can I say a supermarket?
Yeah, sure you can.
Lidl sell vegan mayonnaise.
Ah.
And it's not made with eggs.
Right.
There's no eggs. I've looked at the label.
You could have revolutionised Mark's life, to be honest, because mayonnaise is a good, it's a good condiment. It is. So this could be great news for Mark, actually. Good to know.
And there's no eggs in it.
Excellent. Leslie, thanks for that little tip. There might be other people listening as well who appreciate that. Thanks, Leslie.
It's the brand's called Bats.
Right. I'll have a wee look for that then.
It's their brand. It must be for Lidl.
Good stuff.
But it is a vegan mayonnaise and there's no eggs in
it. No eggs in it. Perfect.
And it's lovely with chips.
Oh, I love mayo and chips. Love mayo. Now I'm getting hungry, Leslie. I'm going to have to go.
My tummy's rumbling. Done in the air fryer.
Oh, I love anything done in the air fryer. That is a whole other story that I could be talking about this time tomorrow. Don't start me on my air fryer. Leslie and Fife, thank you so much for your call. As always, lovely to talk to you. 0808 509 693 or text me 85058. It's 2:32 now.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
And here's your news headlines this morning. Israel is carrying out fresh attacks in southern Beirut, targeting sites where it says Hezbollah is storing weapons. The Israeli military has told people to evacuate a number of buildings in the Lebanese capital. A series of buildings have already been levelled in the area. Israel says it's hit Hezbollah headquarters. The Lebanese authorities say 6 people have died and more than 90 wounded. Tributes to Dame Maggie Smith, who died earlier today at the age of 89, have described her as fierce, witty and one of the true greats. She was best known for her roles in Downton Abbey and the Harry Potter films. Gary Oldman, who played Sirius Black in the Harry Potter series, has described her as a dazzling talent. Donald Trump has said he would quickly resolve the conflict between Russia and Ukraine if he wins the US presidential election in November. During talks with President Zelensky in New York, Mr. Trump says he has a good relationship with the leaders of both sides. And an unusually bright comet may become visible in the next few days. Comet Chu-Chin-Shan Atlas, or A3 as it's called, may be seen with the naked eye for periods until the end of October. Well, that's the news headlines this morning. With the sport, here's Shoujo Sarkar.
England's cricketers have levelled up their one-day international series against Australia at 2-2 after a massive 186-run victory in a rain-affected match at Lord's. Eleanor Aldred reports.
After two heavy defeats in the first two games of the series, a stunning performance with bat and ball gave England a massive win by 186 runs. A delayed start, overs reduced to 39 aside after morning rain. Harry Brook with 87 and Ben Duckett 63 gave England a solid foundation. But Liam Livingstone broke the Lord's ODI records for fastest 50 off 25 balls and most runs in an over, 28 off Mitchell Starc's final over to set Australia a target of 313. They made a decent start. They were 68 without loss, then collapsed to 96 for 6 thanks to the pace of Archer and Cass and the accuracy of Potts. Australia all out for 126, and the teams go to Bristol with all to play for on Sunday.
In rugby league, Lee Leopards produced a spirited performance to win 14-6 away at Salford to book their place in the Super League semi-finals. Newly promoted Crystal Palace endured another tough night in the Women's Super League. They were humbled 7-0 at Selhurst Park by the reigning champions Chelsea. In the Championship, Plymouth edged out Luton 3-1 at Home Park. Tranmere and Salford City drew 0-0 in League 2. In Rugby Union's Premiership, Christian Wade scored a hat-trick as Gloucester beat Bristol 44-41. In the United Rugby Championship, Leinster recorded a 34-6 bonus point win over Dragons, while Glasgow ran in 6 tries as they thrashed Benetton 42-10. And the All England club say they are looking to complete 39 new tennis courts at Wimbledon between 2030 and 2033. The plans, which also include a new 800-seater stadium, have been given the go-ahead by the Greater London Authority despite strong local opposition. Campaigners could still seek a judicial review.
Matt Shawley,
BBC Radio 5 Live.
We are looking for a member of Matt's Parliament for New Forest East. Mick has got a claim. Hello, Mick.
In 1997, I proposed in a little hotel. I was actually in the bathroom.
What?
We were getting ready for dinner and I wanted it all to be sort of sorted before we went in and celebrated.
Lisa Nadi, such a safe culture major as well.
We're toughening up the system to make sure that people who are unfit owners can't become football club owners.
Matt Shawley,
Monday to Friday from 2
on BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker to play BBC Radio 5 Live.
Lisa McCormick.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Morning. What do you want to talk about this morning? Let me know. We can, you know, because this is the thing. We've always got a couple of ideas of things we could talk about. But actually, we can go down any kind of rabbit hole you want to, in all honesty. If you want to talk about it, I'm here for it. We're talking national treasures. Dame Maggie Smith, of course, has passed away at the age of 89. And among the tributes being paid to Dame Maggie are the King and Queen and Keir Starmer as well. They both referred to it as a national treasure, and I think that's fair to say. So I want to know who it is for you you would consider to be a national treasure. It won't surprise you to hear that many, many, many people are saying Sir David Attenborough. Absolutely. I could not agree more, including Katie from Belfast, who says, I wonder if he likes mayonnaise. Like what you did there. Who is your national treasure, though, and why? What is it that makes a national treasure? 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. Also, the Daily Mail are talking about Prince Harry being spotted at a celebrity New York City tattoo parlour. Apparently he spent around an hour in there, but nobody knows what would happen behind the closed door because the staff, they say, remain tight-lipped about it. So he might be sporting a tattoo. It got me thinking, have you got a tattoo? And if so, what is your tattoo story? Share that with me. 08085 909 693. Let's speak to Tommy. Tommy's in Liverpool. How are you doing, Tommy?
Fine, lady. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, you know. I'm all right tonight. Enjoying the chat. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I never ever got a tattoo.
Did you not?
I was in the army, like, and all the lads went out.
Yeah,
you know, we were out in Berlin,
89, yeah,
90, you know, the Berlin Wall and all that.
Yeah.
And all the lads were getting tattoos, running out the pub, like, yeah, go and get one. I never felt drawn to get one.
Yeah, it just wasn't
compelled
you.
Or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm left-handed and I've got 3 nipples.
Right.
So I don't regret not getting one as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think any of them regretted it?
They're all made up. They just all started laughing, like, you know, the lads.
Yeah.
But I think some do and some don't. They're made up with them, you know. Yeah, it's just one of them.
Yeah.
What's it, a national treasure?
Yeah.
Has he still got to be alive, is he?
Yeah, do you know what? You tell me who you think's a national treasure. I'm open to all ideas.
Oliver Reed.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So a character,
yeah,
anyway.
He's fine, man. Met him once, yeah.
Oh, did you?
You know, he's fine, man.
What was the story behind you meeting him?
He was on a sailboat.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What was...
And we just bumped into him, like, in South France.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Yeah, with the Navy, like, well, we were attached to the Navy at the time.
Right, right, okay. So you served in the Navy?
He was a good laugh, yeah. Good laugh.
Yeah. Did you have a good chat with them?
Well, a good chat, and we had a couple of vinos with them, like, you know.
Obviously, I'd be very surprised if you hadn't, to be honest with you, Tommy.
Yeah.
Was he
a gentleman, he was.
Yeah. So hang on, because I just. All right, no. What year was that?
Oh, going back, 89.
Right, okay, so it was...
88, 89.
Yeah,
around then.
Quite a while ago then, yeah. Oh, good. It's always nice to hear, though, that, you know, when you've met somebody like that, that they actually have been quite nice.
Yeah,
I think we can absolutely accept that. We can accept that as a national treasure, 100%, even though he has left.
National treasure, all over the league,
yeah. Good stuff.
And some good films he was.
Yeah.
But as I say, like, you know, I've only met another three people with three nipples.
Yeah.
And none of them got tattoos as well.
Oh, right. Well, you see, I can challenge you on that. True,
then.
Because Harry Styles has three nipples and he's got tattoos.
Has he?
Yeah. So.
Well, I've only met three.
Don't know if he's left-handed, though. Not sure about that. Not sure if there's any link there.
Yeah, that's half of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're left-handed, like, as well.
Here's a random question for you, Tommy. You might not know the answer to this, but let me ask it anyway.
Go ahead.
When you were a child, did you write your name backwards at all?
Yes.
Did you? That's interesting.
And I learned to write cursively when I was five.
Right. My daughter is left-handed and she writes her name backwards and I cannot convince her to write it the right way around at all.
You can do it, you can do it.
And I wondered, is that a left-handed thing? So that's interesting.
It's there's something there, like, I can...
Yeah.
Well, I won't talk about it, what I was in the army, but I can use my right hand to do what I used to have to do, like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
That's
not as good as me left, though.
No, of course, but I guess you sort of, there's some things you have to adapt to use your right hand, because we're living in a right-handed world at the end of the day, don't we?
You know, the teacher, she, old-fashioned school, Mrs. Schmidt, she was called.
Yeah.
I won't say what school, like, she said, how did you learn to write like that, cursively?
Yeah.
I taught myself.
Goodness, yeah. Clever.
I was five, touching on six, like, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It was all scraggly, but it got better and better.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. At that age, yeah.
It's strange how kids work, and, you know.
Oh, isn't it? I know. Well, it's interesting about the back, because she writes her name perfectly, but it's just backwards. I'm just like... Interesting.
You understand it.
There you go.
The worst thing is if you smudge it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're writing the... Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean.
Absolutely.
But I write overhand.
Yeah.
Left, I've learned to write overhand, like.
Right. There you go.
And I've done all that, like. I got a degree in art.
Wow, goodness, you've done a lot.
Still waiting on selling me paintings, anyway.
Well, listen, the fortune's coming.
We'll see what happens.
You never know. Listen, good to speak to you, all right?
Okay, lady.
You take care of yourself. See ya.
Take care. Have a good time.
Cheers. Right, Tommy in Liverpool there with his story. Maybe did digress slightly. In the middle of all that, Tiffa brought me a cup of tea. I wasn't angling after you making me a cup of tea, David, but thanks, I kind of was. I genuinely wasn't, by the way. Genuinely wasn't. Anyway, I move on. Who have we got? Oh, yeah, right. We're going to get to Ian in St John's Wood shortly. So, Ian, hang on with me because I will be with you shortly. But I want to speak to Denise in Anglesey before that. Hiya, Denise.
Hi, Lisa. You sound well.
Yeah, I'm good, actually. Thanks, Denise. What about yourself? How's Anglesey treating you?
Well, I've recovered from whatever it is. My soul legs went into my body, you know, the infection. Oh. I'm totally recovered and, it feels good.
Oh, I'm sure it does, Denise. I'm sure it does. And you're back in your home.
Well, I've been in my home for 2 weeks. I wouldn't go out in case it was infectious.
Yeah.
And Lisa, it was tough. Going out, sat here. I thought, I felt like the prisoner. You know that series, The Prisoner, filmed at Port Merion?
Yeah,
I thought, next thing will happen, Rover will arrive in the garden and gobble me up, big white balloon. But Rover's going to arrive. I felt like a prisoner. I mean, I like saying does, as you know, but yeah, not for that amount of time. No.
Yeah, definitely. Well, do you know, I have visions of you, Denise, and this is probably so far from the truth, but, you know, living in this beautiful kind of, in the middle of nowhere, just overlooking the sea in Anglesey. So that's the view I have of
where you live. You've got it totally wrong. I live in a bungalow, yeah. A tiny bungalow. And when Dutton said about this party, I thought, great. And then, I was saying to David, I'd love you to come along as well, Lisa, for this party. The caramel digestives will be there for you.
Yeah,
but no, I live in a council bungalow, right. And it overlooks. It's got a beautiful view at the back of the farm, the field for horses.
Nice.
And in the distance, you can see the mountains. I can't see them too well now, but they are there.
They are. They
it's
are
lovely.
There. You know
I'm very
there.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Pardon?
It still sounds beautiful. Yeah. I just have this sort of view that you're kind of like secluded on
the
like
rolling
like
fields and
exactly.
mansion.
Yes.
No. This is my palace. It's most, I've lived in big houses and little houses, and this is my favourite house I've ever lived in.
Oh, that's
it reminds
nice.
Me of when I was young, different. I mean, we didn't live in a bungalow, but yeah, I love it,
oh,
and the neighbours are lovely.
Oh, that's what you want, isn't
it? Yeah.
That's exactly.
Have you seen the photograph yet on it that I just put on X?
No, because I don't follow you, because you didn't tell me how to follow you.
Well, I don't know. I'm not very good with technology. I thought you just followed me. I thought people just followed, and that was it. I don't know,
how to
explain to you.
Do you know what your ex name is?
Denise.
Just.
I think it's just Denise or Denise Regan. Denise Regan. R E A G A N. Do follow me.
I'll find you. I'll find
yeah, it can be quite fun.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Ex.
I kind of forget it exists these days, and then somebody will say something, I'll think, oh, yeah, I do like that. So, yeah, no, I will.
When you might meet her indoors, you enjoy X.
Yeah.
you're far busier than me, Lisa. Yeah,
oh,
but I posted a photograph.
Right.
I look like a loose woman, or a scarlet woman.
Right.
Of me. I've queued for the Blarney Stone. I've kissed it twice.
Have you?
But the first time, this is a photograph. I had a short skirt on.
Right.
And you can imagine, I mean, it's a respectful photograph and the crowd were really laughing.
Right. Very good. I'm going to find it. I'm definitely going to find it. I'm going to find you. I'm not there yet.
I was prepared.
Who do you think? Mm. Oh, I find you, Denise.
Yes.
Oh, I know what Denise looks like. Oh.
When I had a better figure, I'm a bit of a...
Castle
on top now.
Yeah. I'm following you now, so I'll see all of your photos. Yeah, very good. Yeah, no, I see you kissing the Blarney Stone. You do have a short skirt, I'll give you that. But I think it was, what year was that?
It was in the year 2000. I was rather manic and trying different fashions. and that was one of the fashions I had. Yeah, so.
And the second
in my
time.
Manic days.
The second time, Ryan, you
the second
you wore,
time.
You wore trousers.
That was just. Yeah, I did. I realised that had to be respectable. But I didn't know, Julia, my sister-in-law, didn't tell me that you lean back to kiss his bride yourself. I thought you just kind of kiss it. You could stand there and kiss it, but no.
So there was you giving the whole cue a bit of a flash.
Yeah, you can almost see my tonsils.
Oh, good. Oh, Denise, you always make me laugh. That's for sure. So who's your...
Anyway, you are invited to my house, and it's not a rolling mansion, but I call it my palace.
Well, yeah. I'll be there. But yeah, can you house us all? Yeah, we'll all be there.
Well, that's what I was saying when I came off the telephone and the end of the show. Yeah. All I could think about was chairs.
Yes.
I thought, where are they going to sit? I haven't got enough seating, and I thought, nah. I've dragged the garden chair. The kitchen's quite big, so it'll be like that song.
Everybody
in the kitchen at parties.
Everybody has emergency chairs somewhere, Denise. Do you know what mine is? Mine's this little stool that I bought to, like, you know, so like, because I'm not very tall, to be honest. So you stand on a little stool to reach the top cupboards. That's what my emergency chair is. Nobody's complained yet, so, you know.
Right, Lisa. You go my perching stool. Oh, you go my perching stool, which is for disabled people.
Right.
So that perching stool will be yours.
Excellent. That's the emergency chair for me. Anyway, we're planning this party, and meanwhile, people are hanging on to speak. What's the? What's your national? Tell me your national treasure.
My national treasure. There's two actually. Male, I would choose Banksy. And female, Judi Dench.
Oh, good choices. Good choices. Yeah. I would ask why, but I mean, I absolutely understand why you would say both of those, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Dame Judi Dench.
I think he'll go with... He must be laughing. I think he or she will go to the grave with a secret.
Do you think so? Yeah.
I do.
One of the big newspapers has tried sort of outing him for who he is, but I refuse to read the articles because I like the mystique around Banksy.
The mystery.
Yeah,
and I think he does.
I think he does as well.
And I think also, I did watch when Paddy was alive, we watched a video documentary about him.
Yeah.
And whether it's true, I don't know. It could be propaganda, but they said that he was speaking when you couldn't see his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he employed people. So he'll never get caught.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, it's not Banksy that climbs the walls. You know, the graffiti, you know, it's beautiful art.
Interesting. There you go. Good choices, Denise. And now I've got you an X. I'm going to remember X exists. I'm definitely going to tweet some. So
it does exist.
I'll keep up with
along
your photos.
Along with my six Elons that follow me, six false Elons. It exists, all right.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Listen, Denise, we'll speak again soon. You take care.
God bless you. See you soon.
You too. See you later. Denise and Anglesey there with everything we've talked about. We've created a whole party and everything. Right, we need to crack on. Ian in St John's Wood. Hi, Ian. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm good. And you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Thank you. I don't believe we've spoken before, have we?
We have not.
Oh, no. Welcome to the programme. Usually I have a little piece of music we play, but somebody's taken my screen and I can't play it. So, sorry.
Helping new arrivals.
Yeah, we've got like a new arrivals. Yeah, we do. That's it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Anyway, welcome to the programme. It's lovely to have you
on
board. You've queued. You've queued before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
No, I thought you meant on the phone now. Sorry.
Oh, I mean, you definitely queued on the phone. Right. Apologies for that. Yeah.
Okay, no, fine. A little anecdote from many years ago about queuing. So I was in the West End with a good friend of mine, and we'd been out clubbing, and we were like, having a fun night, and we saw this other queue, and we thought, it's a great club, and we're going to queue here and go to this fantastic club.
Yeah.
So we're queuing, and like all giggly and bubbly, and all of a sudden the door's filling open, and we think, in we go. And Gary Wilmot came out, and it was actually the stage door, and people were queuing for his autograph.
Oh my goodness. So was it worth queuing for that?
It wasn't what we thought it was, no. I think we promptly left. Sorry, Gary.
Yeah, bit of a disappointment, though. You thought you were continuing your night out, and out comes Gary Wilmot. Brilliant. When was that?
Oh, gosh, dare I say, is it like 30 years ago now?
Was it right? Okay.
Yeah.
But this is it. If you see a queue gathering, you kind of think, this could be something exciting. Let's just join
it. Exactly. I think it's off Leicester Square, like heart of the West End. It's we're happening, you know.
Like, yeah, it's going to be a great club. Come on, let's go. Oh, brilliant! I'm sure Gary was great, but yeah, I think I'd have been a bit disappointed, to be honest. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, good stuff. Oh, Ian, lovely for you to share your story. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And yeah, you've made me laugh, so it's all good. All right, Ian, take care. Speak soon. So you're Ian in St John's Wood there. I love that. Just joined a random queue thinking they're going to a club or something, and actually it was Gary Wilmot signing autographs. Right, we've got a few minutes before the news. Let's hear Teresa in Bournemouth's story. How are you, Teresa?
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I'm not bad, Teresa. What about yourself?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm a first-time caller to your show, but I do phone Dawson a fair amount.
Do you know, this is the thing, right? So sometimes people call me and I think I've spoken to them, but it's because I've heard them on Dawson's programme. So I think this is what's happened with you, Teresa. Because I thought, have I spoken to you? I do recognise you, but so that'll be what it is. There you go. Welcome along.
But I'm glad you're not going to play Roll Out the Barrel.
No, that's very polarising, Teresa. I understand that.
I put my head under the pillow and think, no, please.
Yeah, a few people have told me that. Well, there you go. Teresa, you've got a tattoo, don't you?
Yes.
Tell me.
Congratulations to Mark. I know how he feels. I'm a survivor of cancer. Brilliant. And I've been cleared now. It was 5 years ago. But at the same time, my husband died of motor neurone disease and I was caring for my dad with dementia and then I got cancer. Mm-hmm. So I've always been very, very against tattoos. I've got three daughters and I said, you're never to have them. They're just awful. Don't ever think about it. And then my youngest, who's 24, she said, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a tattoo. And I just thought, life is too short to be worrying about stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll come with you and watch you squirm in the chair. And I went with her and she said, Mum, you should have one. Just have a little one. And I thought, why not? So I just had a small one on my inner arm, and upper arm. But I just love it because I feel quite rebellious and I just feel really proud of it.
Oh, brilliant.
So I have got one now.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I think when you have one, you think, oh, I quite like another one now.
I know. That's exactly where it got me, to be honest with you, Teresa.
It is addictive.
It is a little bit, isn't it? So what is it you've got? Tell me what you've got.
Well, it's just a word.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I've just looked at it now.
Yeah.
And it says strong.
Brilliant.
Because she felt that I'd been very strong throughout everything. And, yeah, so when I am feeling kind of I have a really low, grumpy day, I just look at my arm and think, no, come on, you know, you can do this. You're strong and just get on with it.
I love that. So,
it's just a kind of reminder, which in a way sounds morbid, but it's not.
No, it's not. I absolutely take the positivity from that. And you know, as I say, I got one, then ended up with, a lot of years passed and then I got another one, and then now I lost a really good friend last year, and she, when I met her sort of 7 years ago or whatever, had no tattoos, and then she ended up, both of her arms were covered, and after she died I thought, you know what, life's too short, so I got myself one on my arm so people can see it. And I look at it and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, life is too short. So I absolutely get the positive message that you have from that tattoo, Teresa, 100%.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's not going to affect anybody or harm anyone. And I think we've all got a lot more important things to think about as to whether we've got a tattoo or not.
Absolutely.
As long as you haven't got swear words.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's probably a little bit different. And, you know, I draw the line at some. But, yeah, on the whole, I'm happy with what I've got. And Teresa, before I let you go, because that's a really lovely, uplifting story, so thank you. National Treasure, who is it for you?
Right. What's the definition of National Treasure?
We could be debating this for a whole day.
Yeah, I kind of think, is it age or whether they're traditional person or not, because I would have said someone like Judi Dench.
Brilliant.
And that she's kind of traditional, who I would imagine to be a national treasure, a bit like Maggie Smith.
Yeah.
And then the other end of the spectrum, I was thinking, well, is someone like Bob Geldof a national treasure because of everything, all the charity work he's done, and the millions that he raised in Live Aid? And, you know, would he ever be considered one? Because if you, you know, compare him to Billy Connolly, who is a comedian. Mm-hmm. I know the other lady mentioned him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a good comedian.
Yeah.
But in comparison, you know, I don't know, but
yeah.
I don't think he's raised as much money for charity, if he has,
mm-hmm.
than someone like Bob Geldof. So, yeah, two different ends of the spectrum, and I don't know what the definition of national treasure is, really, but,
yeah,
if he died, I think that would be really sad, because
yeah.
he's done so much good.
Definitely, he has. Good suggestions, Teresa. Thanks for sharing them with me.
Oh, that's all right.
And lovely uplifting story of your tattoo, so thanks for that as well.
I'll probably have another one soon.
Great.
Thanks,
report back, let me know, okay?
I'll have a sleep and be covered.
Do you know what? Why not, Teresa? Why not? Teresa in Bournemouth there. Have you got a tattoo? What's your story behind it? What did you queue for? And was it worth it? 08085 909 693. Or text me, 85058.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. This is Tyler Dunn. Israel has bombed buildings in southern Beirut, where it's claimed Hezbollah is storing weapons. Residents have been ordered to evacuate three blocks in a suburb of Lebanon's capital. Israel also claims to have killed senior Hezbollah commanders in another city in southern Lebanon. Daniel Hagari is a spokesperson for the IDF.
After almost a year of Hezbollah firing rockets, missiles and suicide drones at Israeli civilians, after almost a year of Israel warning the world and telling them that Hezbollah must be stopped, Israel is doing what every sovereign state in the world would do if they had a terror organization that seeks their destruction on their border.
Just before the initial attack, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gave a defiant speech at the UN General Assembly in New York. He said Israel was fighting for its life and that the offensive would continue until people could return to their homes in the north of the country that they've evacuated because of rocket attacks by Hezbollah. On her first visit to the US-Mexico border since becoming the Democratic presidential nominee, Kamala Harris has given details about how she would change and enforce immigration rules if she wins the election. She said people who cross the border illegally will be barred from applying for asylum. Border security is seen as a strong issue in Donald Trump's campaign, but she contrasted her approach with his record as president.
He did not solve the shortage of border agents. He did not create lawful pathways into our nation. He did nothing to address an outdated asylum system and did not work with other governments in our hemisphere to deal with what clearly is also a regional challenge.
The former Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has said he considered launching a military raid to retrieve COVID vaccines from a warehouse in the Netherlands. In an excerpt from his memoir, serialised in the Daily Mail, he says he believed the EU was blocking the export of the AstraZeneca doses to the UK because of the pace of Britain's rollout.